What's up, Noll Nation? It's Jesse from Plant the Spear back with you for another episode to talk about some postseason baseball for the Seminoles. Man, I'm really excited. They advanced through the regional 3-0. Now they get to host a super regional for the first time since 2017 as they welcome the UConn Huskies into Dick Howser Stadium. Hope you guys are doing well. Thank you for tuning in to another episode. We're going old school today, flying solo. Michael is still out of town, so hopefully, you know, we'll have him back next week. And, you know, so I apologize if my flow is off a little bit. You know, this is back to our roots. This is how we started out for the first few years, just kind of me on the mic talking to you guys. And so I apologize if my flow is a little bit off, but, you know, we're going to make it happen because there's no reason not to be excited about some postseason baseball. I mean, I know a lot of guys, you know, a lot of you guys are probably primarily FSU football fans. And that's great, man. I love football too. It's summer. It's slow. We got a big recruiting month. Hopefully we have some commits to talk about soon. But I mean, if you're a Seminole, how can you not get excited about some postseason baseball, especially now that we are into the second round, the Supers? So first off, the first thing I want to do is let's jump into a quick regional recap. That let's look at how Florida State got here. There was a little bit of nervousness coming into the regionals. You know, if we're being honest, you had a tough Stetson team that had beat you in the regular season as game one. Cam Leiter, who we thought might be available for the weekend, was ruled out. Then you're see Carson Dorsey's getting the start. A lot of people were a little bit nervous because Link gambled a little bit with his arms here to try and save Jamie for the tougher competition down the road. I mean, and people were like, man, Carson Dorsey, he's been a little bit inconsistent. So they were kind of concerned why he wasn't throwing Jamie Arnold out there in the first game. But Florida State gets it done, 7-2 over Stetson. And man, the gamble could not have paid off any bigger for Florida State. Carson Dorsey, this is being tabbed as the Carson Dorsey game, comes in, throws 8 2/3 innings, 121 pitches, only allows 9 hits, 1 earned run with 7 Ks. Really could have thrown a complete game, but towards the end, you could tell maybe he was getting a little gas, just needed one more out, so they let Ox come in and finish the game off. But man, you had some power early in the game, 2 home runs in the first 2 innings, really got things started, and that's a good win. Stetson's a good team. That they ended up eliminating Alabama, who we thought was going to be the best competition for Florida State in this regional, and you never even had to play them. So what Carson Dorsey did in that first game was massive. It cannot be understated. I mean, first off, you allowed Florida State to get the win, stay in the winner's bracket against a tough Stetson team, but you also saved a lot of the arms from the bullpen for the rest of the regional. Now, you didn't need a whole lot of them until game 3, but it was just the performance that he had. I don't think any of us saw it coming, and I don't think you could have asked for a better performance from Carson Dorsey. So really shout out to him for that performance in the regional, and you're hoping that confidence carries over to the super regional because you're going to need him again against a talented UConn team. So then Florida State goes to game 2, and you know, the thing about Florida State throughout the season has always been their offense. This is a very power deep lineup with a strong offense, one of the best offenses in the country. But it was the pitching that won the first 2 games, which is the one thing that we've kind of always been nervous about with this team. But they stepped up in a huge way because after Carson Dorsey goes out and has what I called in our regional recap article, a heroic, downright heroic performance against Stetson to get you that win, Jamie Arnold comes back with the Jamie Arnold game against UCF in game 2. They win 5-2 to advance, but Jamie Arnold, 7 innings pitched, 3 hits, 2 earned runs allowed, and 12 Ks, including an immaculate inning. He just showed you why he's one of the best pitchers in the country. I mean, completely electric stuff. He was jacked up and feeling it. This game got a late start due to a weather delay, and you could tell Howser was rocking and ready to go. The players were feeling it. The crowd was into it. But the thing was, this game actually started kind of slow, and then that Cam Smith home run completely changed the energy of the stadium. Now, we did get a little bit of a celebration warning, pulling the helmet off, and some people got triggered over him pointing at the sky because they thought he was doing an obscene gesture. You know, people just got to be mad over something. But that completely shifted that game. Completely. I mean, Howser just exploded when that happened. And so that was, man, that was a fun game. That right there is like the epitome of watching postseason baseball in Tallahassee. It was just such an awesome atmosphere, and they go on to get that win over a good UCF team. And the thing was, when you saw Florida State's bat struggle a little bit in that game, we said in our preview that UCF was a defensive-led team. They struggle a little bit on offense. They have good pitching, and it kind of played how we expected. And then you move to game 3, another slow start by Florida State's offense. It was 2-0 UCF in the fifth inning when Florida State had an absolute massive just offensive explosion in the fifth inning. 9 runs, 2 home runs. UCF did manage to get 2 back in the sixth and seventh, but then FSU scored another 3 runs in the seventh to put it away. UCF drops. I mean, they used 7 pitchers in that game, so they just kind of ran out of gas late. And Florida State goes on to get the win 12-4. So the offense won you that game. So, man, it was 3-0. You swept the regional. You did exactly what you came to do. And now you've turned your focus to that super regional. So extremely excited for them to get that sweeping win and then moving on to the super regional. So, again, like we said, this is the first super regional since 2017 inside Dick Howser Stadium. And I first off have to tip my cap to Knoll Nation. Sold out the tickets in 5 minutes. That is absolutely bonkers. So even though I have a big gripe with the start times for these games, which we'll talk about in just a minute, it's still going to be an electric atmosphere. It's just going to be hot and it's going to be early. And so make sure you guys hydrate if you are there. But maybe that's a little bit of a weather advantage. It's supposed to be high 90s, I think like 97 to 99 all weekend in Tallahassee. So that could be a weather advantage for the Florida team versus a team that's primarily from the Northeast with their roster. But man, you are only 2 wins away from Omaha and you get to host, which is huge because Florida State baseball is now 30-4 at home. So they are excellent at home. So we're going to dive into UConn, but first I want to tell you guys about today's sponsor, and you're not going to want to skip this ad because we have something special to tell you about, which is a collaboration between us and our sponsor, Alumni Hall, to do a Father's Day giveaway. And you guys are going to want to make sure you check this out. Super simple to enter. Check it out on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter on our social pages. It's just a couple of steps, only takes a few minutes. And we're going to give away a $100 gift card to Alumni Hall for the Father's Day giveaway. Maybe you have a Seminole dad that needs some new gear. Maybe you are the Seminole dad that needs some new gear. Either way, go check that out. And while you're shopping at Alumni Hall, use code SPEAR to get 10% off and support those that support us. They also currently have a t-shirt sale going on to help support and rebuild the high-flying circus tent that was knocked down in the storm. Really great gesture by those guys. We're almost to 500 shirts sold, so make sure you guys go jump on that and help support that. 100% of the proceeds go to helping rebuild. So let's talk about this UConn team. You know, when you look at the Super Regional coming out of, or the Regional coming out of Norman, Oklahoma, UConn outside of Oral Roberts was probably not the team I was going to pick to make it out of there. You had Duke, which we had talked about, you know, hopefully you don't match up with them again. And then you also have the ninth national seed, Oklahoma. UConn wiped them all out. And so it just goes to show you this team is better than I think a lot of people think they are. A lot of people probably look at this and go, thank goodness we got UConn. I don't know that that is entirely the case. Now, I'd probably rather play UConn than Duke or Oklahoma, to be honest. But this is not a team you can look past. So let's talk about the overarching matchup at first. I will say real quick that it was hard to find consistent stats. College baseball has about 20 different stat sources, and a lot of them aren't on the same page. So I at least pulled these from the same spot. If they're wrong, they're equally wrong, and we'll just yell at whoever I got them from. So looking at the team records coming into the Super Regional, Florida State comes in with a record advantage at 45-15 to 35-24 for UConn. Now, UConn is the Big East regular season champion. They have won that 4 consecutive times now. So again, this is not a slouch of a team here. RPI rank, you have Florida State coming in at 7th. UConn is at 32nd. Strength of schedule ranking is 24th for Florida State and 37th for UConn. Quad one games, very similar record here, 9-8 for Florida State, 8-8 for UConn. And then looking at the regional, of course, we just talked about Florida State went 3-0 in their regional with wins over Stetson and UCF. UConn went 3-1 with wins over Duke and OU. They did lose to OU one time, but then they bounced back to win that game 7-1. Now, let's talk about these start times. You know, shout out to Madison Social, who has coined the slogan, noon games suck. You know, most of you guys know here, I'm not a fan of noon games. Look, your boy sweats during the noon games, and it's not an enjoyable experience. But again, like we talked about, it might be a little bit of a weather advantage for Florida State. But at the good on the good side of things, these games will be able to be viewed on ESPN, not ESPN Plus, not ACC Network Extra. You know, you're not digging around to try and find these games. They will be broadcast from the Devil's Den themselves, ESPN. Sorry, ESPN, you did it to yourselves. But it's going to be Friday at noon, Saturday at 11 a.m., ridiculously early start. And then Sunday, if necessary, that game will be at noon on ESPN2. So let's look at this matchup a little bit more in depth. Let's look at the UConn Huskies here a little bit. They have played some common opponents. And here's the thing about UConn. They started a little bit slow, but they had a tough out-of-conference schedule. They currently have the top 20 non-conference strength of schedule. They played on the road. They played Indiana State. They played on the road at number 13 UC Santa Barbara. They played on the road at UC Irvine, a ranked team there as well. So they have played some tough teams on the road. They're not going to be scared to come into Hauser. They're not going to be scared of this crowd. This is a very tough, veteran, experienced team with a lot of upperclassmen. They've traveled a lot. They're going to be ready to play. I still think Florida State's the better team in this regional, but we'll get into that in a second. You do have some common opponents throughout the season. Louisville, they played early in the season. They won 4-3. Of course, you know, we won the series against Louisville. Then BC, they dropped both of those games, 7-4 and 8-2. And then, of course, they beat Duke 4-1. Now, of course, you know, we beat Duke in the regular season in the series win, but then Duke, they got you in two games well. So we split four games total there. Now, the thing about UConn is it really starts at the top for them. It starts with this coaching staff. You have head coach Jim Penders. He's in his 21st season as the head coach at UConn. They have one of the best pitching coaches, you know, in the game. And Jim Penders has led 10 postseason appearances and 3 super regionals at UConn. They have not been to the College World Series yet, so this is going to be a battle. They're going to want to get over that hump. They're going to want to make it to their first College World Series, and Florida State's going to want to get back in there. So, we're 2 wins away from getting back to Omaha, and that's, you just want to see these guys continue that run. Now, if you get past UConn, we're probably going to be paired up with Tennessee if they go on to make it to Omaha as well. So that's going to be a whole different animal, but we're going to focus on UConn at first. So, Looking at this UConn team, it's similar to UCF. Very pitching, defensive-led team, not an explosive offense by any means. They have about 6 to 7 guys they like to use on the mound throughout a weekend. Not the most flashy group. Don't really have those guys that throw 96, 97, but they have good command. They throw strikes, and they're experienced. They're veteran guys. So let's start with, we already talked about what they did in a regional, but I want to highlight something when you talk about the defense for this team. When you look at that regional, this is what really raises some flags here, why Florida State has to be on guard, and this is not a team you can overlook. UConn has only committed one error in the entire regional in 4 games. They held Duke, a team that averages 8.4 runs per game and scored 16 runs against Florida State twice this season, held them to 1 run. OU averages 8.1 runs per game, held them to 1 run twice. In the regional, they played 36 innings. They held teams scoreless in 30 of those 36 innings. This is a good defensive team. This is a good pitching team. You are going to have to come ready to play. And the reason that's so important is remember that 8-run number. That's going to be important. I got a stat that's going to really define this whole thing towards the end of the preview. So looking at the pitching staff, let's give you some names to know here. So right-handed pitcher Ian Cook is kind of their Jamie Arnold. Now, he really didn't get the bulk of his pitching till later in the season due to some injury. He has a 5-1 record, 3.97 ERA, and 65.2 innings pitched. He's the Big East pitcher of the year, and this is going to be the guy that you're going to have to look out for. They also have Stephen Quigley, a right-hander, 6-3 record, 3.59 ERA, and 97.2 innings pitched. He threw 124 pitches versus OU on Saturday, and then came back and threw 26 more on Monday. That's the thing, because they don't have a lot of bullpen depth. They're more concentrated to these 6-8 guys. They'll let these guys work. I mean, they're going to go out and throw 80 to 120 pitches. You also have left-hander Garrett Coe. He has a 9-5 record on the season, 4.7 ERA, 99.2 innings pitched. Those are really the 3 main guys. You also have Braden Quinn and Gabe Van Eemen, who are guys that pitched in the regional. You know, they have, like I said, it's not the most dynamic, it's not the most dangerous group of guys, but they're solid. You know, there's not really a whole lot of weakness there. And that's the thing, is they really make their hay on the defensive side of things. And so when you look at what I want to do, because, you know, we always talk a lot about team ERA, but a lot of these guys that pitch in the midweek games and stuff like that, they're not throwing in these big moments. So What I did is I boiled this down to the top 6 pitchers by innings pitched. And Florida State does gain a little advantage here. If you, in your top 6 guys by innings pitched, Florida State has a combined 4.43 ERA, 2.42 opponent average, and a 33-8 record. When you look at UConn, their top six guys combined for a 4.62 ERA, 259 opponent average, and 28-19 record. So Florida State does have the advantage at the top of their bullpen. And what I find interesting when we talk about that bullpen depth, Florida State has used 16 pitchers this season. Only one of them has a single-digit innings pitched. UConn has used 18 pitchers, and they have seven pitchers with single innings pitched. So they really concentrate to their top like 6-8 guys, like we mentioned. They have three pitchers with over 80 strikeouts, but none with over 100, whereas Florida State only has one guy over 80, but that's Jamie Arnold at 146. And here's the thing. They have good pitching, but they don't really have a Jamie Arnold. So you're going to want to, hopefully Jamie Arnold comes out and has another electric game and is able to get you a win there. Now, Florida State does have a slight advantage in fielding percentage and has committed one less error on the season. So again, man, they're going to try and play defense and win this game. And I got a stat that's going to really drive that home here in just a second. But before we do that, let's talk about the offense here and some guys you need to know about. So the first one is going to be senior Corey Morton. He is the offensive leader of this team. 79 hits, 11 home runs, 335 average. He was named the most outstanding player of the Norman Regional after going 9 of 16 with a home run, 2 doubles, and 6 RBIs. This is the guy. I'm not throwing him strikes. I'm throwing everything out and just seeing if you can get him. But they're aggressive on the base path too. So you want to be careful how you put these guys on base. And Corey Morton is one of the good ones on the base path. He is 19 of 24 on stolen bases this season. UConn has 81 stolen bases. Florida State has 61. So they have a little edge there in what they do on the base path. And Florida State has allowed 33 of 37 stolen bases. So they know that. They're going to try and push their luck on the base path. Now, you also need to know about Paul Tamoureau, another upperclassman, 309 batting average, 16 of 27 on stolen base attempts this season. And Luke Broadhurst leads the team in home runs with 14. He had a home run in the regional with 5 RBI. So that's another bat you got to watch out for. And then one other guy that I want to talk about here is Caleb Spurr. He is 26 of 28 on stolen bases. So that top half of the lineup, they got some guys in the top 3 or 4 guys. They're going to push you on the base path once they get on, if they can get on base. So that's going to be something Florida State's going to have to watch out for. But when we talk about this offense, UConn only has 2 guys batting over 300 on the season. Florida State has 6. Again, I know this offense can be feast or famine for Florida State sometimes. We see where it's slow, 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 and then they explode. They rely on a lot of powers and home runs. And in the regional, we saw a lot of times where, man, these guys were trying to take the cover off the baseball and just swinging at some pitches maybe they shouldn't have. But they've got to stay true to what they do. And that power in the lineup is really what makes Florida State so dangerous. That's how you saw that 9-run inning against UCF. But Florida State does have the advantage here on offense. You lead them in runs per game, 8.8 to 6.4. You lead them in hits. You lead them in batting average. You lead them in home runs by a pretty good margin, 112 to 85. You got more RBIs, a higher slugging percentage, a higher on-base percentage, and you've struck out less. So you're going to need your offense to show up in this game. You're going to need that pitching to keep a not great offense in check. And so as we get ready to kind of wind this down here, we're giving the defense between Florida State and UConn are pretty close. The offense, you have a decided advantage and you're at home. So this is a super region that Florida State should win. But again, we didn't expect UConn to be coming out of that regional. So you got to stay on guard. Now, like we mentioned, UConn is similar to UCF in how they want to win that low scoring defensive game. And this is the stat that I hinted at earlier that's going to make or break this. And for Florida State, I think that the goal here is to not get out of what you normally do. You want to continue to be Florida State. Don't try to do too much. I know people are concerned. You got your ACC Player of the Year, James Tibbs, who's been in a little bit of a slump through the regional. I mean, he picked up some walks, but really didn't do a whole lot at the plate. The good thing is there's so much depth in this lineup. Max Williams has been a guy that stepped up. Cam Smith has had a couple of really big at-bats in the regional. You know, but you're going to need that offense to show up because Florida State, This is why when we talked about those numbers earlier, the 8 runs. Remember that number, 8 runs. That is the magic number. It feels like, you know, in football, we often talk about it's a race to 20 points. It's a race to 30 points or whatever the case may be. This feels like it's going to be a race to about 8 runs. So the reason that's so important is UConn is 4 and 14 when the opposing team scored at least 8 runs. Florida State, averages 8.8 runs per game. So if you get to that 8 or 9 run mark, you're going to feel really good about your chances to win. Now, UConn, if they hold you under 8 runs, they are 31-5. So again, you can see this is really a race to 8 runs. Now, the thing too is, when you look at that 4 wins by UConn, where they were able to just outscore someone, they relied on their offense to win. Only one of those 4 wins in an 8-plus run game came against a team ranked in the top 150 of RPI. They beat a lot of really bad teams, down around the 200 number in RPI when they had to score with their offense. On the other hand, Florida State is 32-4 in games where they scored 8 or more runs. All 4 of their losses where they scored 8 runs and they still lost the game were against teams that were ranked in the top 50 of RPI. 2 against Clemson, 1 against Georgia Tech, and 1 against Wake Forest. So some really, really good teams. So, man, if you can score 8 runs, you feel really good about it. But as we touched on before, in that Norman Regional, UConn held Duke and Oklahoma to 1 run in 3 games, you know, separately, of course. And those are teams that average over 8 runs a game on the season. So you are really going to want to make sure the bats show up. I mean, the pitching is important. The defense is important, of course, but you need to put some runs on the board against a good defensive team. And if you do that, you feel really good about Florida State being able to find their way to Omaha. Be really nice if you can win this in 2, so you don't really have to hit that bullpen depth for that game 3. But if you can get that, and it's certainly possible if you can get another big performance from Carson Dorsey, and then follow that up with Jamie Arnold. You know, but if you get to game 3, and I don't expect Florida State to come here and sweep, but I think it's very possible. I mean, they are the better team. They have a little bit tougher schedule. They have a more talented team. But UConn is no slouch, so you cannot overlook them. So I'm hoping they can wrap this up in 2 so we don't have to test that bullpen depth, because that's usually where we see things kind of get a little bit hairy for this team. But, man, I feel good about it. I feel good about the home field advantage, maybe the weather advantage. You know, Florida State's a seasoned team too. They played some tough competition throughout the season, a little bit tougher than UConn. You know, they didn't face a Clemson. They didn't face a Wake Forest. You know, I think Florida State has an advantage here, but it's not going to be somewhere we're just going to walk in and, like some people think, we're just going to, you know, handle things. I mean, they could. I hope they do. But just 2 wins away from Omaha. So it all starts on Friday at noon. Really excited to see the Super Regional get underway. And guys, that's pretty much going to do it for us. It's going to be a short episode this week. Like I said, I'm kind of, you know, flying solo here. So just wanted to talk about this postseason baseball matchup as we get ready to go to the Super Regionals. Like I said, we'll be back next week. We got some football talk going on. So, you know, we're not going to stray away from the meat and potatoes too long. We got some game time and TV networks announcements. We got some recruiting to talk about. So we'll be back with all that next week. But in the meantime, good luck to the FSU baseball team. What a massive turnaround season from the year they had before, only winning 23 games. So now you're at 45 wins, hosting a Super Regional. Absolutely massive. So, guys, appreciate you tuning in. Catch us on the next one. Go check out that giveaway with Alumni Hall. I mean, it's a $100 gift card, and all you have to do is 3 simple steps to enter. So go check that out on our social media profiles, and we will catch you guys on the next one. As always, go Noles.